If you've got your Bibles tonight, I'm going to be in the book of Psalms, chapter 78, and please keep your Bibles handy. I'm going to be flipping through some pages this evening. Psalms, chapter 78. I was studying this morning, and this passage just seemed to pop out at me, and I felt led to preach about eternity, and but I'm going to go back here to tonight. In Psalm 78, and I'm going to begin reading about verse number 12. Psalm 78 and 12. He said, "Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers, and in the land of Egypt, and in the field of Zoan. And he divided the sea, and caused them to pass through. And he made the waters to stand up as a heap. And in the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused the waters to run down like rivers. They sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their hearts by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said," and here's my thought, "can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" He's looking back at the time whenever God delivered the children of Israel out of bondage, out of Egypt. Whenever they was in slavery under Pharaoh's direction and Pharaoh's leadership, making bricks, being persecuted, the taskmaster that was putting more on them than what they could bear. God miraculously delivered them out. And it seemed like whenever they come to the Red Sea and God parted the sea, and it seemed like there was no hope. The reaccounting some of these things that God had done, they get on the other side, and the wall of water collapses around Pharaoh's army, and Pharaoh's army dies, and they're destroyed. What a marvelous feat that was. But no sooner than they get their clothes wet, and they're complaining, "We had it better back in Egypt." They begin to talk among themselves, and "We're hungry." They begin to complain, and "We're thirsty." God gave them drink as of the depths of... Hey, have you ever pulled water out of a deep well? I mean, that cold, cold water on a hot summer day. There's nothing quenches the thirst. They was in the middle of the desert, and here is cold water coming out of the rock. Rivers, it said. This wasn't a little trickle. This was feeding a whole nation of Israel. Thousands upon thousands. And yet, just a couple verses later, they ask the question, "Can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" I look back in my life, and I'll use myself as an example. There are times, Brother Virgil, that I have thought back, and God has answered miraculously time and time again. Move when it seemed like that there it was impossible. But then I find myself faced with certain circumstances and situation, and the question arises, can God? Oh, don't look at me like you're all holy. We find ourselves in one of two camps, either the God can or the can God camp. This is the children of Israel that had just come, been delivered out of bondage. Had the Red Sea experience, seen the water come out of a rock. God had kept them in the wilderness for 40 years. Been led by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Miracle after miracle God had performed. And they come to the place that, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? I'm going to go to some scripture and just give you a little bit of Bible. In the book of Nehemiah, and I'm going to cover 9 chapters of this real quick. In the book of Nehemiah, you know Nehemiah, he was a cupbearer for the king. And Nehemiah gets a report that the walls have been burned and torn down and the gates have been burned and the city is in ruins. You know, the walls served a twofold purpose. The walls kept the enemy out. The walls were not only was for defense, but the walls was also for security. It kept the people in. And he got the news that the walls had been torn down. Well, Nehemiah gets a burden. And he gets permission from the king and the king gives him provisions that he needs and gives him the go-ahead, the green light to go back and rebuild the walls there. If God gives you a burden, God will give you the provisions to carry out the burden that He gives you. He no longer gets out there, begins to work, and the accusers show up. Sanballat and Tobiah, they show up and they begin to send false reports back to the king and make accusations and start telling lies. And it's not long that whenever they start coming back and they start they're faced with opposition. It's not long that they are in battle. They're fighting the enemy while they're trying to build, while they're trying to work on the walls. They've got their weapons in one hand and their tools in the other hand. And you know what the Bible tells us? In 52 short days, with God on their side, God fighting their battle for them, they was able to reconstruct the walls and the gates of the city. By the time that we get to chapter number 8, you'll find that there's a minister by the name of Ezra. He must have been a preacher of all preachers. He began to get the books and began to read the law. And they begin to praise God and to worship the Lord. By the time we get to Nehemiah chapter number 9 and verse number 1 through 3, it's where I'm going to read from. It said, "And now in the 20th and 4th day of the month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth and the earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers." Listen to me now. There was a separation that took place. You can't come into the house of God with sin in your life and worship God with a whole and clean and pure heart. There has to be a separation. They begin to separate themselves from the rest of the world. They begin to separate themselves from the things that was outside. And he says here that they separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place, and listen to this, they read in the book of the law of the Lord, their God, 1/4 part per day. And another 1/4 part they confessed and worshiped the Lord, their God. They had church. They had revival. Now listen to me. These youth just come back from youth camp. You guys are getting a pass tonight, okay? But there's some older folks in here that at one time they had walls built. They had gates there. They had worship. They had praise. They one time had the burning fire, the zeal that these young people had, and they have been, they has, the enemy has destroyed it over time. The enemy has burned down what once burned in these young people. You'll find yourself either in the camp of God can or can God. Sister Bernadine, I'm going to pick on you just a minute. You're not too old to shout. I can pick on her because she can take it. It done my heart good to see Sister Marilyn Parks up here marching around the altar this morning. There's not a reason in this world why the older people cannot worship like the younger people. If we will separate ourselves from the world, if we will study and read our Bible and pray and confess and worship the Lord a fourth part of the day and another fourth part of the day, we'll see revival at the house of prayer. I still believe God can. Amen. Like a fire shut up in my bones. Well, I'm going to go on just a little bit. I'm going to go to the New Testament. You know, in Mark chapter 6, we'll find a familiar passage there. He can turn a storm into still waters. I don't know about you, but I've seen him calm some storms in my life. Jesus has just fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He sent the disciples on over to the Bethsaida. And you know, the disciples gets out there in the middle of the sea, and the storm begins to rise, and the storm begins to rage. The wind blows and lightning. I can imagine, you know what storms are like. I can just imagine being out on troubled waters. And I'll tell you what, this is not the first time the disciples have been in trouble. I don't know about you, But I think if they had a charter boat, then I would say, and they said, come on, hop in the bass boat, let's go for a ride. I think I'd say, boys, I'm going to have to pass. Seems like every time the disciples got in a ship, they got into trouble. This was not their first time. You go back to Mark chapter 4, you'll find out that they was in another storm. They was out on the Sea of Galilee, and the storm began to rage, and Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship asleep. They went back and woke him up and said, "Care you not that we perish?" He stood up and said, "Shh, peace, be still." But Brother Isaac is a little bit different this time. The master wasn't in the ship. Matter of fact, if we look at Scripture, we'll go there to verse number 46. And it said, "And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea and would have passed them by." You'll find yourself sometimes in the middle of a storm and you look around like I'm sure they did. Well, somebody go back and wake up the master. He's not in the boat. He's nowhere to be seen. The last time I heard he was going up into the mountain to pray or something, they didn't have cell phones. How are we going to get a hold of him? He bailed us out the last time. "Hey, boys, you better do something. The water's coming over the boat. It's coming over the sides. We're going to drown." Do you ever feel like that in your storm? that you pray and you look and Jesus is nowhere to be seen. The storm was raging. It was dark. It was cloudy. Lightning was striking. The wind was raging. The waves was high. And Jesus was nowhere to be found. But the Bible records that He was up on the mountain. He had a different point of view than what they did. They could not see Him, but He was watching them the whole time. He could have said, well, you know what? This storm will pass. They'll be fine. They know how to pray. They see me calm. Surely they know how to calm the storm. Just get up and talk to it. Rebuke it. But no. He got down off of the mountain. Began to walk out on that sea. Walked on the water and went to where they were. I'm sure that they was wondering, can God save us this time, or are we going to perish? That old song, I was going down for the last time, but God. Verse number 50. It says, "And for they saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased." I believe that if you would ask any of those disciples, they would have said, God can. God can. I'm going to give you one more. A familiar passage, John chapter 11. You know this story. Mary and Martha call for Jesus. They wait, and they wait. Lazarus is sick. Finally gets to the point that Lazarus dies. And where was Jesus? 4 days later, he shows up. You know, that's one thing I like about the Bible. It's not just stories. But it's real people in real situations. This is not a fictional novel of some kind that somebody dreamed up. These are real occurrences that took place. Martha. I love Martha. Martha's trying to be a God can person. In verse number 21, I'll begin reading there. And then Martha said unto Jesus, listen to this, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. In other words, if I could just put Martha's words into my own, Martha was saying, God, I know you can. She's trying real hard to be a God you can type person. And Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? In other words, he's asking her, do you really believe God can? And she saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. In the moment of standing in his presence, she is a God can type of woman. But I want you to notice something that takes place just a few verses later. Look with me, if you will, in verse 39. Jesus had just got through speaking, and he said, Jesus said, take the stone away. And look what Martha said the very next thing after Jesus spoke. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he has been dead 4 days. Now, I'm not the sharpest crayon in the box, but I do know this, whenever somebody is dead, there's not a whole lot a doctor can do. Especially when they're dead 4 days. They are dead. Graveyard dead. I can sympathize with what Martha's saying here. Lord, he's dead. He's stinking. What's the purpose of rolling the stone back? Now, she just got through being a God can type of woman. God, you have all power. I know you can do this. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. But sometimes when your situation is staring you head on, you notice the difference? When she was facing God, looking at God, it was a God can kind of thing. But when she was facing the tomb and looking at Lazarus and looking at reality, it was a can God type of woman. I've been there. I've faced reality. I've looked it in the face, and I know the power of God, and I know God's power doesn't expire. It still has us. It doesn't weaken in strength. He's still God Almighty. But in the face of circumstances, things was looking different for her. But I'm thankful that Jesus said in verse 43, and when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. I have seen God turn ruins into revival. We have looked at a passage tonight where God can calm the storm and turn it into still waters. And lastly tonight, I just read you a passage where he can take and turn death into life. Some of these young people just got through testifying last Sunday night about what God can do. He took death and turned it into life. Brother Isaiah, I heard you talk about you was addicted at the young age. You're only 16 years old, addicted to drugs and alcohol. That is death. God can take what the enemy meant for harm and turn it for good. What has he done? He turned death into life. I was bound in my sins and my trespasses, but I was also raised unto life. I've seen him do it over and over and over again. People with no hope, people that the world has and the church even has counted off and said, they'll never amount to anything. They'll never be God can never use them. God can take the dead and bring them back to life. Which camp are you in tonight? Are you in the can God or God can? I believe he's still on the throne. I believe he's still in power. I believe he's still in charge. I believe he still wants to do things in this church. I don't think we've seen the last of the miracles. And by the way, I don't think I've seen the last of the revivals. I can think back and I remember some of the people in this church I've seen lift their hands and shout to the glory of God. I'd like to see that again. I'd like to see the waters, the troubled waters calmed. And I'd like to see more people come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as a personal Lord and Savior. I believe God can. Would y'all believe that with me tonight? Believe God can. Time and time again. He's done it. He can do it again. I've done my best tonight. I hope I've encouraged someone tonight and may not make anybody mad. But I'll tell you what, God can. God can. He can do it. Over and over again and again, God can. God has not changed. It is us that have changed.